Hello, and welcome to the season finale of the Happy Listening Project. My name is Maria Cecilia Saba, and I'm the co-producer of this show. I'm taking over the mic today to interview Milly Visar, aka Soundseeds, the creator, writer, field recordist, sound editor, and co-producer of the Happy Listening Project. Milly is a sound artist, audio director, sound designer, field recordist, dialogue editor, DJ, and above all things, a coffee lover and avid traveler. Over the last decade, Milly has collaborated with artists, scholars, filmmakers, and game designers to create immersive and playful soundscapes for films, TV shows, video games, and expanded cinema. Welcome to your podcast, Milly.
Thank you.
So we've known each other for 13 years, and over that time, I've seen you explore many different sound practices. I wonder if you could start by sharing a little bit about your journey as a sound artist. How do you first become interested in exploring sound as your artistic medium?
So as a little kid, I was always interested in sound. I would play around with my older brother recording our own radio show on tapes. So I was always very fascinated by what sound could do and how you can capture it. And then when I went to study at university, I always did video editing. So I was then playing with sound and media.
What did you study?
I was studying communications at the University of Lima in Peru. I was also DJing at that time, electronic music. So when I would play around with sound effects in like editing software like Ableton Live, I was already doing sound design without knowing that I was doing sound design.
That's really cool. What were your first projects as a sound artist in college or right after college like?
My very first project was to create the film score for The Man with the Movie Camera, which is a silent film from 1929 by director Ziga Vertov. And what I did was I composed like some parts of the film with electronic music that I made in Ableton Live. Mm-hmm. And the other half was like a DJ set. And this was live. And I had like a friend that would play the guitar on top of what I was doing. So it was really cool. It was a really cool experience. My friends that organized this were working in like a press company. So I was interviewed on TV. I think I was even on some magazine.
Sounds very impressive. That's really cool.
Yeah. And after that, for my thesis, I did Metropolis by Fritz Lang. And I did the whole movie. I ended up just doing it out of love for film and music and sound. I just got really into it. And when I was doing that project, this piece of the film that was missing appeared. Like, they found it in Buenos Aires.
Wow.
So I went to Buenos Aires to, like, talk to the people that found the piece and incorporated that into my thesis. And I got a summa cum laude.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
That sounds super impressive. And what a good timing to be working on that piece.
Yeah, it was just perfect timing, really.
So what happened next? What happened after Metropolis?
By the time I finished university and started teaching film courses, I started to feel like my calling was more related to like the sound realm. DJing wasn't enough, you know, it wasn't enough to quench my sound thirst. Mm-hmm. And something was like, I felt that something was missing. Mm-hmm. And by that time, I already had my first field recorder. And I remember it was a Zoom H4N. Mm-hmm. And I still have it. And it still works.
Your trusty companion.
Yeah. So I was doing a lot of field recording when I traveled inside Peru. I would go to the jungle. I would go to Cusco. And I would sit there and listen. And I remember one night I was sitting in this field in the jungle listening to the dusk chorus. I remember feeling so connected to what I was listening to and to nature.
What were you listening to?
I was listening to cicadas singing, and it was, I don't know, it was like a really connecting moment for me. It changed something.
It sounds like a very transcendental moment for you, like a pivoting point. Where did that take you?
So I realized that I was still too curious and driven by sound to just settle down and teach film courses. So I started to research where I could study. I started to look for sound schools in the US. And a friend of mine told me to research Vancouver Film School. And I did. And I signed up to their newsletter and ended up getting this email about a scholarship contest like 2 years later. It took a while. And I entered the contest. I won the scholarship. I got half a scholarship. I quit my job. I moved to Canada. And it changed my life completely.
So that must have been quite an exciting experience, an excited period of your life, because just kind of being immersed in an intensive program that was solely dedicated to sound and to like everything in the sound world, coming from, you know, a background in communications that was so much broader.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like being at Hogwarts, but with sound. Everybody there that was teaching me there just sounded like they were the true magicians.
You kind of found your people.
I did.
So what were your, what did you do after VFS? So what was life after this life-changing experience of being in Hogwarts for sound?
It was great. I did a lot of different things related to sound when I graduated. I tried everything. I was a location sound mixer for a documentary called All Our Father's Relations. It's a great documentary. I think everyone should take a look at it, especially if you live in Canada. I did some location sound mixing for President's Choice, which was shot in Peru. So I got to be location sound mixer, assistant producer, translator. It was fun. I did a lot of dialogue editing and ADR assistance. And I made friends with Doug Patterson, who has a really beautiful studio in Vancouver. His studio is called Big World Sound. And he's great. He's a great sound designer and mixer.
Yeah, actually take credit a little bit for your friendship with Doug, because I introduced the two of you.
Yeah.
At the Reel to Reel Film Festival.
Yeah. I met him volunteering for you.
Yeah. Doug is the best. He's so sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, so you started doing some your first independent gigs officially as a sound person, a sound artist. What do you consider to be your big break?
I started doing ADR assistance for a big studio in Vancouver. Then I moved to dialogue editing after that. And I did a bunch of shows for Disney, for Sony, and lots of Hallmark films for Christmas. And I was super busy. I was so driven. I really liked my job. But I worked very long hours and I didn't take any breaks. Like I would even work on holidays and weekends. So
especially during that crunch time, no? During Christmas season?
Yeah. Like from October onward, it's crunch time.
Yeah, I remember that being nonstop for sure.
Yeah, so the deadlines are super tight on TV. So you're always like crunching. And I didn't pay attention to my health and my retina detached.
Oh my God.
It was very scary. I had to rethink my path. I couldn't work those long hours anymore. So yeah, I took time off to think. So I decided to look for a place with a better work-life balance.
Yeah, of course. I remember that that period of your life being very stressful and very uncertain, no? Like having to take this forced hiatus in your, you know, emerging and thriving sound career. But I also remember that your social network, your support system pulled through in a very magical way, kind of. Can you tell us a little bit what happened?
One of my good friends from school, from Vancouver Film School, asked me if I was interested in doing sound design for A Shell in the Pit. And that was my big break.
The true big break.
Now I work for what I consider one of the best sound design studios in the game world, with a boss and a producer that go above and beyond what the standards of work-life balance are. And I think we're even setting new standards for how you should handle work-life balance.
New standards, higher standards.
Higher standards, yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I'm super grateful and lucky to be part of this company.
So you've had quite an eventful journey with, you know, many different experiences, high highs and low lows, of course. So despite the trauma of your retina detaching, you've managed to establish yourself as a renowned sound designer and audio director for video games. And also you've been keeping an active artistic career of your own, no? Collaborating with other artists in artistic projects and creating your own projects. So tell me a little bit about your current what you're currently working on, your current artistic projects, your relationship with field recording, and how it all came together to inspire the Happy Listening Project.
So my journey started with experimental film and sound, and that's a big part of my practice to this day. Last year, I was asked to score an expanded cinema piece by filmmaker Elena Pardo, and I made for that piece electronic music mixed with soundscapes, like natural soundscapes, and also machine-made, like, soundscapes in the computer. And I used this EMF mic by Lohm.
Mm-hmm.
So I would pick up the electricity that was coming out of the projectors and my computer and anything, the speakers, you know, was just, like, moving around this magic wand while I was performing. And we really got along. We played well together, and we ended up going to Brooklyn together to perform the piece there.
Wow.
Last year. And the tour, her tour, ended in Montreal this year.
Mm-hmm.
So she asked me if I wanted to play in Montreal with her.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was really cool because then I met a musician, Misha Marks. And we both performed for Elena Pardo's piece. And it was a great collaboration. Like, the three of us together were like mariachis performing. Elena calls us her mariachis. Elena's from Mexico.
It's really cute.
Yeah, and her piece is, in English, is called Subterranean Pulses.
That's really cool. And how about the Happy Listening Project?
The Happy Listening Project actually started cooking in 2019 when I met Leah Barclay and Anya Lockwood in this residency called CAMP, which is in France. It was a residency on acoustic ecology. I learned from them about listening, attentive listening, field recording with hydrophones, recording how trees drink water with contact mics.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, it was a wild experience. It was really fun.
Sounds like a very playful experience as well.
Yeah, and they also inspired me and gave me the reassurance I needed to continue recording and building my sound library and continue doing my artistic projects and sharing them.
So you had been building your sound library for many years, you know, doing your field recordings whenever you traveled and keeping that library updated and enriching it with different sounds from across the world. I'm wondering what made you decide to share those archives to the world, like to be able to share it with a wider audience and create the Happy Listening Project.
So earlier this year, my younger brother and my sister-in-law asked me if they could have some of the sounds to listen to because they wanted to relax.
Mm-hmm.
They live in Lima, and Lima is a very noise-polluted city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there aren't that many natural soundscapes or areas where you can walk into and listen to the sounds of birds singing or, you know, wind in the trees because of all the traffic noise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very chaotic.
So busy. Yeah, and they just wanted my soundscapes to chill.
Yeah.
And that's what my sounds do. They're beneficial for restoring your nervous system. And what happened in May, my nephew got dengue fever and he was hospitalized. And one critical night, my sister-in-law calls me and asks me if I could share one of my ocean recordings.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. I gave her a whole library, and Julito was able to sleep through the night because the machines he was hooked up to were really noisy and making him nervous and anxious.
Oh my God, just being hooked up to machines sounds nerve-wracking.
Yeah, with high fever, I'm sure it's even worse.
Of course.
So they got through the night. Both were able to sleep. And I thought I should probably share these sounds with more people
mm-hmm.
to help them. And that weekend, I created the Happy Listening Project.
That's amazing. Yeah, I've listened to a lot of your sounds. And they definitely help you chill, relax. I do feel very different when I wake up to the sound of birds than if I wake up to a podcast or if I wake up to the traffic noise. It's just invigorating. It really does impact your mood and your emotional state, I feel. So I think that that's such a noble project that you have going on here.
That we have going on.
You're my producer. I'm just helping you get through it.
Well, thank you.
I'm just bossing you around.
Well, I've used my sounds to work out at the gym. Because sometimes I'm like, I need to focus on this exercise. And music just like, it helps me. It's great. But then I'm not focusing. Like, I'm focusing on the music and not focusing on the exercise.
Yeah, that happens to me a lot as well. I've used your wind sounds.
Like, yeah, those are the ones I use. Yeah.
Yeah, those are really good. It's kind of like a white noise or something. Those are really good for working when you have to do a little bit of deep focus. Those are also great. So this first season, it's all about the Peruvian jungle. So we have the dawn chorus, we have the birds, we have the wind blowing across bamboo forests, we have the dusk chorus, or the sunset chorus, as I like to call it, with all the bugs starting to chirp, and the cicadas.
There's owls.
The owls. So I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about the locations where you recorded this first season.
Yeah, so the first season, you're hearing sounds from the central Peruvian jungle. The location is Chanchamayo. And it's located in the province of Junin, and the capital is La Merced. La Merced is about 750 meters above sea level.
Mm-hmm.
And its surroundings, there's coffee farms. So this is like a coffee area in Peru. And maybe that's why I love it so much.
That's where your coffee passion comes from.
Yeah, and I also spent all my summers there as mm-hmm. a child with my grandparents and my parents and my brother. So it holds a very special place for me, and the house where I grew up, which belonged to my great grandparents and then my grandparents and then my parents
mm-hmm.
and now us, it's like a sound vessel. It's designed to enjoy sounds of nature because it's very open.
Wow.
You can hear, like, from every room, you can hear nature calling you. It's really cool, and it is a place that people can visit. You'll be able to book a visit starting next year. So if you're interested in visiting this location, you can DM me or Maria Cecilia, and we'll get back to you with the info.
So I definitely want to go back to Chanchamayo, to Millie's family's house, and spend at least a week there, just kind of forest bathing. So just to start the new year with the right food, you know. So I wonder, now we're approaching the end of our interview, I wonder if you can share a little bit about other locations where you have recorded that were particularly interesting or important to you.
I always find every location interesting because I'm always listening to stuff. Mexico was great. Thailand this year. Earlier this year, we were in Thailand and I was just recording as much as I could. The dawn choruses there were amazing. The dusk chorus, the sunset chorus that we call.
For the dawn choruses, we would wake up at 4 in the morning throughout our 2-week trip to Thailand. At first, I didn't know if it was worth it, but then after the first experience, I could never stop. It's just life-changing.
Yeah, it is. Every location we went to, we would do a dawn chorus listening experience, and it was great.
Yeah, definitely recommend starting your birthday with a dawn chorus.
I did.
I know, me too.
Yours was more special because we were in Copangan and people were still partying.
Yeah, the full moon party was still on. Or yeah. Half moon party, I think.
Half moon. And we could hear them, and around, I think it was probably 6:30 a.m. that they stopped the music, and then you could hear all the birds and the insects. It was fantastic.
What other locations come to mind?
The north of Peru, the beaches here, like Stanley Park and all the parks around BC are fabulous for listening to nature.
So what could we expect to hear next season?
I think next season is going to be Thailand.
Nice.
We're planning a trip to Costa Rica.
Yeah, that's coming soon.
And then we'll probably hit the Peruvian jungle, but the side of the Amazon.
Uh-huh. That's we haven't been there yet.
Yeah.
Amazing. I'll put my producer hat on and make sure to...
To make it happen.
To make it happen. Thank you all for listening. Thank you so much, Millie, for, you know, taking the time of your busy schedule to be interviewed by me.
Thank you for doing this.
And we'll talk to you soon. Thank you for tuning in to this special episode. If you would like to support Millie's work in the Happy Listening Project, please visit Millie's Ko-fi page, where you can make a donation and get access to bonus content. Just follow the link in the episode description. The Happy Listening Project will return in December, so stay tuned for a new season featuring Thailand's relaxing and energizing sounds, just in time for the holidays. The Happy Listening Project is co-produced by Millie Visser and me, Maria Cecilia Saba. Until next time,
bye!